Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Good Wednesday morning. Major movement on Capitol Hill.
Congress finally passing that sweeping foreign aid package. Good morning. It's April 24th. This is Today. Done deal. After months of debating and infighting, the $95 billion aid package gets the green light, providing help for Ukraine and Israel and much needed humanitarian assistance for the people of Gaza. Congress also putting TikTok on the clock. An ultimatum: sell or face a ban. We're live on Capitol Hill with the overnight developments. Campus crackdown.
Palestine will live forever.
Pro-Palestinian protesters given a deadline to clear out at Columbia University. As other schools across the country grapple with how to handle the growing demonstrations, we're live on campus. Secret agreement. A former tabloid publisher and Trump insider takes the stand at the former president's historic trial, telling jurors about hush money payments to catch and kill salacious stories. And the judge weighs whether to hold Donald Trump in contempt of court. We're live with the latest. Delayed justice. A massive settlement for victims of disgraced Dr. Larry Nassar. The Justice Department admitting FBI agents badly mishandled the case, allowing the convicted felon to prey on even more young athletes for years. What they're saying this morning. Those stories, plus air fare. New price protections for passengers announced overnight, just in time for the busy summer travel season. The big changes regarding delays, immediate refunds, and all those fees. And Mr. Big Shot. The stars shine in the NBA playoffs. All the highlights from the big night. Today, Wednesday, April 24th, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today on a Wednesday morning. Good to have you along with us.
Nice to see you. We do begin this morning with a series of stories breaking overnight, including the Senate overwhelmingly voting to approve a massive foreign aid package that could also mean the final countdown for TikTok. The $95 billion package includes $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel and humanitarian aid in Gaza. Along with that, the potential TikTok ban amid security concerns over the app's ownership by a Chinese parent company.
Meantime, the war in Gaza continues to trigger chaos at college campuses across the country. New arrests in New York overnight over those pro-Palestinian protests as a standoff over a student encampment on Columbia University escalates this morning. We've got it all covered. Let's start with NBC's Ryan Nobles. He's in Washington, has the next steps for that foreign aid and TikTok bill. Good morning, Ryan.
Savannah, good morning. And despite months of protests and delays from right-wing Republicans, this $95 billion package passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. President Biden has promised to sign the bill into law as soon as today, opening the door for Ukraine to get the weapons and ammunition they desperately need right away.
Overnight on Capitol Hill, the Senate passing a sweeping $95 billion package, including aid for key U.S. allies, and laying the groundwork for a ban on TikTok, putting an end to a months-long political stalemate.
Finally, America sends a message to the entire world. We will not turn our back on you.
Lawmakers voting 79 to 18. The package includes $60 billion in aid to Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, which includes humanitarian relief in Gaza, $8 billion for Taiwan, and a potential TikTok ban. Congress voting to outlaw the popular app, which has 170 million American users, unless its Chinese owner ByteDance finds a buyer within 9 months. TikTok has been encouraging its users to fight the ban, but Congress citing national security concerns, with China's potential access to extensive personal data, and its possible platform for propaganda.
At the end of the day, they've not seen what Congress has seen. They've not been in the classified briefings that Congress has held.
FBI Director Chris Wray telling Lester Holt exclusively Tuesday.
TikTok, for us, represents a national security concern. And the reason I say that is that TikTok's parent company is beholden to the Chinese government.
But as TikTok vows to fight it, the ban will likely be delayed in court. The aid package passing after a major showdown on Capitol Hill, with House Speaker Mike Johnson facing a rebellion. Many Republicans objecting to Ukraine aid. Johnson now adding in sanctions on Iran and Russia. And a few Democrats objecting to Israel aid due to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. But now, most on both sides relieved the bill's long journey is over.
We can wish for a world where the responsibilities of leadership don't fall on us. Or we can act like we understand that they do.
Brian, a lot in this package. Let's focus on that potential ban on TikTok. I mean, it's essentially regulating TikTok and saying you got to sell. The Chinese government can't be connected with the ownership. So how might this actually play out over the next few months?
Yes, Savannah, it's not like the app is going to evaporate from your phone this morning. We expect to see a massive legal battle between TikTok and the federal government, pitting the First Amendment versus national security. And TikTok has cited free speech as part of their argument, and they've had some success in court after multiple federal judges blocked a similar effort from former President Trump back in 2020. That wasn't codified law, though, at the time. So that's why this is a little bit different. Now, despite that steep price tag, there is even the potential that someone could emerge as a buyer. Former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said last month that he was looking at putting together an investment group, but that all depends on ByteDance or the Chinese government, which hasn't shown positive signs they want to sell. And then just last week, China removed Meta's WhatsApp and Threads from its app store over national security concerns. That's according to Apple. Savannah?
Well, that is quite ironic. Ryan, thank you very much.
We have new developments now in the escalating protests on college campuses across the country. Many schools cracking down now on pro-Palestinian demonstrations and trying to convince the protesters to move out. NBC's Erin McLaughlin is live at Columbia University, where the school is negotiating with protesters who've set up camp there. Erin, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning. It appears the situation here at the university is changing by the hour. Now, originally, the university had called for the student encampment to be taken down overnight. Now it seems that that deadline has extended, as this morning, university spokesperson telling NBC News they'll be in talks with students for the next 48 hours. And we're hearing they've made progress. This morning, Columbia University, a flashpoint in the nationwide unrest at college campuses across the country, reporting progress in its negotiations with pro-Palestinian protesters who've been encamped on campus since last week. A Columbia spokesperson telling NBC News this morning, students have committed to dismantling and removing a significant number of tents and have agreed to prohibit discriminatory or harassing language. The school has been flaring with unrest, with growing pressure on its president, Manu Shafiq. Amidst allegations, the university is not doing enough to de-escalate tensions or adequately protect the safety of Jewish students.
At the end of the day, we can't be enabling hate or incitement of violence or disruption to students.
Columbia's encampment inspiring protesters at least 15 other universities, including at Cal Poly Humboldt, where dozens occupied a campus building.
We will mobilize against it.
And at the University of Minnesota, where 9 were detained for trespassing. Students at NYU walking out of class Tuesday.
I am absolutely appalled, horrified, and terrified by what had happened last night.
Expressing their outrage over the 120 people detained on campus during heated confrontations with police during a pro-Palestinian protest Monday night. Zach Samelin, a Jewish faculty member, was among those arrested.
So there was a call to prayer began, and they sent in the riot squad.
When you saw the riot police, what went through your mind?
I grabbed my daughter, I handed her to my wife, and told her to get out of there as quickly as possible.
University officials say disorderly, disruptive, and antagonizing behavior was happening, as well as reports of anti-Semitic incidents, before police moved in with riot gear and zip ties. This morning, universities across the country struggling with the unrest as some students fear for their safety.
It's just hard to see that we have reached such a point where we can't talk to each other.
According to a Columbia University spokesperson, as part of its agreement with students, they've agreed that any outside protesters will leave campus. Meanwhile, House Speaker is expected to meet with Jewish students here at the campus later today. Hoda.
All right, Erin McLaughlin for us there at Columbia. Erin, thank you.
Now to some revealing testimony in the trial of former President Donald Trump, a former tabloid publisher telling jurors that he promised to be Trump's eyes and ears for the 2016 campaign. And he says that included payments to prevent damaging news from being released and then running stories directed at Trump's opponents. NBC's senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett in the courtroom for us. Laura, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning. We are still only on the first witness in this trial, but already the jurors are getting a crash course into an underworld of tabloid tactics likely few of them are familiar with. And their guide for this story, not an outsider, but the tabloid king himself.
A Trump insider tells all. David Pecker, the longtime publisher of the National Enquirer, sitting for hours on the witness stand at former President Trump's criminal trial as the prosecution scrolled through pages of tabloid headlines, some praising Donald Trump, others making brazen, unfounded claims about his rivals like Ted Cruz, all a product of what Pecker described as a secret agreement among friends for him to help get Mr. Trump elected. A plan that Pecker also says involved paying people off so they couldn't go public, like the $30,000 he gave a doorman who was shopping a false story about Mr. Trump fathering his housekeeper's baby. Testimony far afield from the actual 34 counts Mr. Trump faces in the indictment for the alleged crime of falsifying business records. The likely GOP nominee has denied all wrongdoing. But prosecutors hope Pecker will show the jury a longstanding pattern of a presidential hopeful motivated to silence those that could derail his campaign and then covering his tracks with a phony paper trail. This is the judge is now mulling whether the former president violated his gag order and must be held in contempt for attacking trial witnesses online.
And I'm not sure that anybody's ever seen anything like this before. This is like reading a novel. So I put an article in, and then somebody's name is mentioned somewhere deep in the article, and I end up in violation of a gag order.
Mr. Trump's defense team now trying to fend off a $10,000 fine, arguing that it's unfair to hold him accountable for reposting criticism others have voiced about certain witnesses. The judge appearing unpersuaded, eventually warning lead defense attorney Todd Blanche, "You are losing all credibility with the court."
So you've been in the courtroom, and so you're able to see the jurors' reactions to some of this testimony. Can you glean anything?
They are dialed in. They are watching the witness very carefully on the stand. They're making eye contact with the prosecutor. One juror I observed yesterday even smiling as the prosecutor made sort of a self-deprecating joke. There's some of them are taking notes. They have little notepads and pencils. They're following along. They're paying very close attention. Now, Pecker isn't finished. We should mention he is going to be cross-examined, so we haven't heard the end of what he has to say.
All right, Laura, thank you very much.
Laura, all right, let's turn now to the battle over abortion rights. With the Supreme Court set to hear arguments today, it's another potential blockbuster case concerning reproductive rights, raising the legal and political stakes heading into the November election. Our senior Washington correspondent, Hallie Jackson, is right outside the courthouse this morning with the latest. Hey, Hallie, good morning.
Hey there, Hoda. Good morning to you. And later on this morning, the court is set to hear arguments in a case that's seen as a challenge to one of the strictest abortion laws in the country. All of it coming against the backdrop of a presidential election where the political stakes are enormous. A new flashpoint this morning in the battle over abortion rights, with the Supreme Court set to hear arguments in another potential blockbuster case. The question, whether a federal law guaranteeing emergency care for patients overrides an Idaho law banning most abortions, with exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. The Biden administration says that federal law should take precedence, arguing Idaho's law requires doctors to wait until the health of a pregnant patient gets worse before deciding whether to perform an abortion. But Idaho's attorney general, in a statement, accuses the administration of showing a reckless disregard for Idaho's right to protect life.
The Biden administration has twisted this law. They're trying to use federal executive power when the law does not support it. This is beyond the breaking point, and I'm hopeful the Supreme Court will rein them back in.
With Idaho allowed to enforce its near total abortion ban for now, many OBGYNs are leaving the state, including Dr. Lauren Miller, who moved her practice to Colorado. She says Idaho's law has created a dilemma for doctors.
The
physician on the ground is going to be stuck having to decide, do I act now so that she doesn't have any irreparable harms, or do I wait until there's no longer a fetal heartbeat, which then could really risk her health? That's an impossible situation to be stuck in.
This is the second major reproductive rights case in front of the justices this term, 2 years after the court's landmark Dobbs decision overturning Roe versus Wade. Since then, more than a dozen states have put in place stricter abortion bans. The legal fight? Raising the political stakes heading into the November election, with voters in 11 states likely to decide abortion rights on ballot measures this fall. President Biden, in Florida Tuesday, slamming that state's 6-week abortion ban set to go into effect just days from now and pinning the blame on his predecessor.
It was Donald Trump who ripped away the rights of freedom of women in America. It'll be all of us who restore those rights for women in America.
Now, the justices are also already considering another high-profile case involving abortion on whether to preserve access to a medication used in nearly 2/3 of abortions in this country. Both of these decisions are expected to come down before the court ends its term in late June. Hoda?
All right, Hallie Jackson for us here at the courthouse. Hallie, thank you.
Quarter after. Christ got some big news regarding air travel.
Yeah, could affect folks in a good way. Hoda, Savannah, good morning. Good morning to you as well. Of course, the summer travel season just a few months away now. And overnight, the Biden administration unveiled new airline passenger rights. NBC's Tom Costello covers aviation for us, joins us now from Reagan National Airport in D.C. So, Tom, it would seem as if a major part of this is improving refunds from airlines, right?
That's exactly right. This is all about providing compensation quickly to passengers who are owed money from an airline. And if that passenger declines, other alternative transportation means or credits. This is all about cutting through all of the clutter and making it very clear what the rules are for every airline so that you can speed up your refund. Here are the bullet points coming from the Biden administration this morning. Airlines will be required to provide automatic refunds if an airline cancels or makes significant changes to a flight. If the passenger does not accept those alternative credits or transportation, including domestic departures, delay more than 3 hours, international departures, delay more than 6 hours, departures from a different airport or an increase in connections, and you'll be entitled to a refund if your checked bag is not delivered within 12 hours of a domestic flight, and if you pay for something like Wi-Fi or a seat selection that the airline doesn't provide. So the refunds must be within 7 days if you charged it to a credit card. The idea is to speed this whole process up, Craig.
Yeah, no, that actually all sounds great. What about those junk fees, Tom, those so-called junk fees that a lot of folks complain about? What's the administration saying about tackling those?
Well, that's exactly what the DOT calls these fees. They call them junk fees that the airlines spring on you, and the DOT is trying to, like, clear through the clutter on that as well. So this will require the airlines to tell customers up front when fees they charge, what fees they charge for checked bags, for a carry-on bag, for changing a reservation, assessing customers, assuring customers that seats are guaranteed when they buy a ticket. Maybe not the exact seat that you want, but you're guaranteed a seat no matter what. And prohibiting airlines for advertising a misleading promotional discount fare that does not include all of the extra fees that will be included regardless. These changes will take effect within 6 months, and the airlines will face significant fines if they don't follow through. The airlines, as you would expect, already responding to this change. The airlines this morning saying that they are committed to providing the highest quality of service, which includes clarity regarding prices, fees, and ticket terms as well. By the way, there's a long, long list of rights the passengers now have. You can get a good synopsis of all of them on flightrights.gov, flightrights.gov. That's run by the DOT, Craig.
All right. Tom Costello for us there at Reagan National. Tom, thank you.
All right, 7:19. Let's turn to Mr. Roker, get a check of the weather.
I'm going
to
take my refund in Biscoff cookies.
Oh, those are
yummy.
Anyway, so we've got some severe weather developing over the next several days, today and tonight. Scattered storms in Oklahoma early, but then we've got a large hail threat developing today into tonight. Wind gusts of up to 60 miles per hour. The hail threat, though, biggest in central Texas today into tonight. Then we move into tomorrow. These are fast-moving storms. A risk for nighttime tornadoes in the southern plains. This enhanced risk from Texas all the way on up into Kansas. Strong tornadoes, EF2 tornadoes between Garden City and Wichita all the way down into Texas as well with damaging winds. Friday, this low pressure moves into the high plains. We've got a severe threat from Iowa all the way down into Texas. We're looking at the slight risk of strong storms from Dallas all the way up to Des Moines. And again, tornadoes possible. Heavy rain. We could be looking at some significant flooding, especially from Arkansas all the way on up into Iowa. Some places picking up to 6 inches of rain. And that's your latest weather. Guys.
All right. Al. Thank you, Al. Coming up, the end of a years-long battle for the victims of Larry Nassar. Stephanie Goss following the latest for us. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, Savannah. Those victims, including Olympic athletes, have sought accountability from a number of institutions, including USA Gymnastics, Michigan State University, and now the Department of Justice. A $138.7 million settlement. I'll have all the details coming up.
All right, Stephanie. Thank you. Plus, a closer look at a growing trend, younger people seeking out the quiet life. Why a lot of folks aren't waiting until retirement for a change of pace. But first, this is Today on NBC.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I finally broke down and bought myself a plasma TV. Check it out. I actually hung this on the wall myself.
It's good.
I want to show you something. A lot of people in the room, you need more space. Voila, right into the wall.
Wow.
We're back, 7:30, Wednesday, April 24th, actually, 2024. Mm-hmm. The office is on our minds. It always is, yeah. Really. It's relevant to everything. Fans have been clamoring for a reunion. Mm. Well, this morning, Jim and Michael.
Huh?
They're together again, kind of.
Okay.
We'll explain in Pop Start. How's that for a tease?
I want to hear. All right. Also this morning, guys, we have a major announcement for the victims of disgraced Dr. Larry Nassar. The Department of Justice agreeing to a $138 million settlement. In addition to money, it also includes an apology. NBC's Stephanie Goss joins us with more on the story. Hey, Steph, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. A lawyer for dozens of the victims in the settlement calls it the final chapter of a years-long nightmare, adding the acknowledgement of the wrongdoing by the FBI is the closure they've been waiting for. Meantime, the head of the FBI is taking responsibility for the Bureau's action, saying he hopes the settlement helps give the victims some of the critical support they need to continue healing.
this morning, new justice for victims of disgraced sports doctor Larry Nassar. The Department of Justice issuing a $138.7 million payout and apologizing for the FBI's failure to act sooner on warnings about the convicted sex abuser, which prompted an emotional congressional hearing 3 years ago.
They allowed a child molester to go free for more than a year. And this inaction directly allowed Nassar's abuse to continue.
Their testimony led to an extraordinary apology from FBI Director Christopher Wray, who did not oversee the Bureau when the investigation began.
I'm especially sorry that there were people at the FBI who had their own chance to stop this monster back in 2015 and failed.
Gold medalist Ali Raisman told Savannah back in 2018 she wasn't contacted by authorities about her sexual abuse until more than a year after her initial complaint.
I said, why did you wait so long? And they said, oh, he wanted to wait until the Olympics were over.
Why?
I don't know.
Gymnast Maggie Nichols' mother, Gina, says she also waited more than a year for a call from the FBI.
I said, I reported this over a year ago. And you're the first person from any form of law enforcement that has called me. And I said, so when did you get this assignment? He told me yesterday.
In a scathing 2021 report, the Justice Department Inspector General details multiple failures and policy violations by the Indianapolis Field Office, which initially handled the Nassar allegations, including that Nassar continued to see patients in his clinic at Michigan State University for almost 14 months after the FBI was first alerted. By one estimate, he abused at least 70 or more gymnasts during that time. Olympic star Simone Biles talking to Hoda about the need for accountability.
So we still have to protect those athletes and figure out why it happened, who knew what when.
The latest settlement is going to 139 victims who were either involved with the FBI during the botched investigation or who were abused by Nassar during the time the FBI failed to act after receiving reports of abuse. John Manley has represented hundreds of Nassar's victims, including dozens involved in this case.
They were trying to say this was just bureaucratic bungling. No, it wasn't. It was a lie. And it was law enforcement assisting a pedophile.
Yeah, this was a real mess. And this day is like a long time coming. Yeah. So have the victims spoken out about this at all?
Well, the attorney you just heard from, who represents some of them, says that they are relieved and exhausted. Yeah. This has been a long time coming. They hope that they never have to hear Larry Nassar's name again. It brings the total compensation through various settlements to over $1 billion. It includes 500 victims in those cases. It's a lot of money, but beyond the money, there is this hope that it creates institutional change, that young women who come forward with allegations like this are taken seriously.
Heard. Yeah. All right, Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, a controversial bill moving forward despite protests and fierce oppositions where teachers could soon be allowed to carry guns in school.
First up, our Sam Brock is on a new trend this morning. Millennials embracing the retired lifestyle while they're still young. Sam, sounds nice.
I could not have said that better myself, Craig. How does that sound? A retirement lifestyle at like 30 or 40 years old. Increasingly, millennials are deciding that sounds pretty, pretty, pretty good. But they're moving to golf course communities, not just for sports. We'll tell you why coming up next.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.
For 30.
Who eats dinner at 4:30?
By the time we sit down, it'll be 4:45.
I don't understand why we have to eat now.
We got to catch the early bird. It's only between 4:30 and 6.
Yeah, they give you a tenderloin, a salad, and a baked potato for $4.95. You know what that costs you after 6?
Can we eat at a decent hour? I'll treat, okay?
You're not buying us dinner.
I'm not force-feeding myself a steak at 4:30 to save a couple bucks, I'll tell you that.
Oh, Boca Vista, baby! Boca Vista! Never gets old.
Oh, I love that. All right, that's a classic clip, of course, from Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry's got a taste of the leisure lifestyle at his parents' retirement community. Well, times, they are changing.
Yeah, they are. More and more younger people apparently aren't waiting until the golden years to live like retirees.
Yes, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, millennials are leaving the hustle and bustle of city life in search of something quieter. NBC's Sam Brock is in South Florida. Where else? With more. Hi, Sam. Good morning.
Savannah, guys, good morning. Look, we are not in Del Boca Vista from Seinfeld. We might as well could have been. Who would not, guys, want to be cruising their community in golf carts with all these amenities available to their families? And look, it's not just researchers, but also realtors who are saying that this is a trend, a shift that has been in the works for a long time. You know what? Maybe I'll stop the cart too. This has been in the works for a number of years, but it's accelerated in recent years, driven in no small part by social networking and security. And yes, golf.
On the greens and fairways of a country club community near you, it might not be just boomers and retirees you see walking the links these days, but more and more millennials in their late 20s to early 40s and seeking that same lifestyle.
I would say a lot are just getting into golf and kind of wanting that family atmosphere with golf.
What were the criteria that you were looking at?
I think it's the package, right?
Victoria Meadows Murphy and her husband Evan are 35 and standing on a lot of land that will soon feature their new home at the Tequesta Country Club, more than 2 hours away from Miami.
For us to have the calm and the quiet, and also there's, you know, we have our community, we have good restaurants now.
No one has been like, those darn kids, they're taking our retirement homes away from us. Yeah.
No, not at all.
While Evan is from Tequesta and purchased their current home in 2018, Victoria, who owns her own interior design company, started noticing something about business in the neighborhood.
I think the light bulb went off when most of my clients that were reaching out were our age and younger.
According to reporting from the Wall Street Journal, life on the green surged during the pandemic and continues to grow. While in 2023, more golf rounds were played than any other year on record. But golf appears to be just one piece of the millennial puzzle.
I think the key question is, why not? Why would they not move to these golf communities? Most of them are gated, so you have the great security, on-site dining, tennis courts, swimming pools, of course, golf courses.
Are you seeing pushback in any of these communities from the older residents?
Communities are adapting while others aren't. There are communities renovating their club rooms to make it more trendy, like adding a pickleball court or two.
As the trend takes off from the suburbs of Texas and Arizona to Southern California, not everyone's wild about sharing the space, like Doug and Jamie Baker in the Coachella Valley.
I like not having trick-or-treaters every October. That's just me.
You know, we don't want Coachella here all year long.
But the research indicates the millennial move likely isn't going anywhere. A recent Harvard study showed the number of millennials moving to peripheral suburbs jumped 30% in 10 years. And for young, aspiring couples like the Murphys, the pivot is perfect.
I think the next step with our future is this home and building it for our family and building it to work for our family in the future.
Oh, so many questions, Sam. Get off my lawn! No Halloween, no trick-or-treaters, no...
It's Burning Man every day!
Are there any budget concerns, Sam, when it comes to like buying into one of these places? How are they doing that?
Yeah, or they cost a lot.
For
it. Budget concerns.
Yes.
How do they afford
By
it?
The way, that same couple, guys, that same couple did say these kids play their music so loud, and I am not making that up. As far as the budgetary concerns, yes, you know, there's mandatory buy-ins for many of these communities that can be anywhere from $15,000 to $250,000. You got HOA fees, country club fees. So clearly you are paying a premium to live here. Some of the communities also have a mandatory minimum age of 55 and up.
Oh,
well, that's certainly not all of them. But living a couple of hours away from an urban center, as we are out here in Tequesta, also means you're getting better value for the property. So many are making that calculation that it's okay to be 40 going on 75, as all of us want to be. With that note, let me send it back to you.
So just like living on in a country club or something.
Yeah.
like if you can afford it.
Totally.
Yeah.
100%.
Got it.
Thank you, Sam.
This really appeal to you because you're the oldest 42-year-old I know.
If I didn't have small kids, I would sign up right now.
I would too with the kids.
Organized activities.
I wish we could all live on a golf course together.
Let's do it.
I don't even golf.
Sign me up.
Seems fun.
See, but people are already like Deborah and I used to go to, we would go 5:15 for dinner. Nobody there. Everybody's there now. All these young people.
That's right.
Stop. Leave the old people alone. Get off my lawn and get out of my restaurant. It's Burning Man every day. Anyway, we're going to cool off Burning Man because we got 33 million people from Minnesota all the way to New England talking about frost advisories, freeze watches, and freeze warnings this morning. It's chilly. Green Bay, 30 degrees. Quincy, Illinois, 44. Buffalo, it's 47. Detroit, you're at 40 degrees. And for today, temperatures about 10 to 15 degrees below average. From Portland, Poughkeepsie, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, on into Chicago. Temperatures stay a little on the chilly side into the Northeast. Boston, you're going to only be 51 tomorrow. Dayton, Ohio, 61 degrees. That's 6 degrees below average. But then we've got a warm-up. Buffalo by Sunday, you're at 75. New York, 74. Boston, 67. 80 degrees in Lynchburg. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thanks. Coming up in Pop Start, an out-of-this-world offer. How much money you could make if you agree to a Star Wars movie marathon.
Al and I would do it for free.
Free.
So great.
Free. Would probably pay money to do it.
Photo would require top dollar. I need it.
A problem that a lot of parents are dealing with right now, burnout. There's a new study reveals just how people are dealing with it.
Good stuff. Also on Popstar, an exclusive first look at a new documentary about Jim Henson. Ooh. Very cool. That and a whole lot more coming up.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.